Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Woodstock, Georgia, it's time for Cherokee Business Radio. Now, here's your host.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Cherokee Business Radio. Stone Payton here with you this afternoon. And today's episode is brought to you in part by our community partner program, the Business Radio X Main Street Warriors, defending capitalism, promoting small business, and supporting our local community. For more information, go to mainstreetwarriors.org. And a special note of thanks to our title sponsor for the Cherokee chapter of Main Street Warriors, Diesel David Inc. Please go check them out at dieseldavid.com. You guys are in for a real treat this afternoon. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Hayden Keene. How are you, man?
I am good. How are you, Stone?
I am doing well. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. I got a ton of questions. I know we're not going to get to them all, but I think a good place to start might be what you shared with me when we were visiting over at the circuit the other day. This is Autism Month or something?
Yeah,
talk about that.
Yeah, it is Autism Awareness Month. For me, I have high functioning autism. I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit nervous right now. So autism is flying. Like a good example of how I'm feeling right now is like Tom Cruise behind an F-14 Tomcat for the first time. Just be like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah. So, yeah, it's Autism Awareness Month. I'm 31 years old. I've been dealing with high functioning autism all my life. I've got my mother in the studio with me. Boy, I was not an easy child. Let's just say that. My mom, she basically told me, she's just like, I mean, people with autism, my mom basically told me, she's just like, you're just different from the rest. Like, I always had to, I wasn't really good at math.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 8 times to pass the math graduation test, just that portion of it.
Right.
To get my diploma. And it was, I've always, in high school, I always had to have what's called a parapro with me, taking me from class to class to class.
Mm-hmm.
And I got picked on for that. You know, I got to ride in the high school realm. They call it the sped bus or the special bus, whatever they call it now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you knew or recognized that there was something different about your life and the way things worked for you than the other kids. You might not have had a moniker for it, something to call it. Yeah.
It got so bad, my being picked on in high school. It got so bad until my senior year. The beginning of my senior year, I said, Mom, it's my senior year. I don't want a parapro. I don't want someone walking to me to my classes. I want to live my life as mm-hmm. a regular student. And she's like, okay. So honestly, the pinnacle point of my high school year was my senior year, my fourth year.
Huh.
Really got to meet a lot of people. Because every time when I met somebody, my parapro was always with me and they're like, why is she always following you? It's like, ugh, it was just a barrier for me. So I was just like, I want to go on that way. I can just focus. And, senior year, I did good. I did my classes better than, before.
Yeah.
I was failing in a few classes.
All right. So at least for you, there was an academic challenge, at least in the area of math, maybe in some other areas.
Yeah.
Did you find it that you were drawn to some other areas of school that maybe you were at least on par with everyone else, or wow, I'm really good at this. It may be better than some other folks.
I was really good at, I did a, JROTC.
So, oh, okay.
For 4 years in high school, and that kind of built the courage I have.
I'll bet.
And so one day, my colonel decided to, he was just like, I'm going to form up a rifle team. So We shot a CO2 cartridge.
Oh, not flipping a rifle, shooting.
No, shooting a rifle. Okay, yeah.
So you're a good shot.
I did. or I am. I outshot my colonel, and he's been in Desert Storm.
Oh my goodness!
He drove.
You don't beat the customer at golf, Hayden. You're not supposed to outshoot the colonel.
I'm not supposed to outshoot the colonel. Right. But it was good though, because he was like, He's like, I used to be a tank driver. I used to drive the A1 Abram tanks, the big mm-hmm. boys, and I was the gunner. So,
right.
And he's like, the amount of years that I've done this rifle team, I have never been outshot.
Wow.
Until today.
What a confidence builder.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. He's like, yeah, I wanna recruit you. And I was like, okay. So, but during that process of me getting recruited, I had stigmatism. Yeah, I had a disease called keratoconus, and for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a retinal disease. It attacks the vision in your retina.
Not good for a rifle guy.
Not good for a rifle guy. So unfortunately, I've been dealing with that. So because of it, it was during my process of getting recruited for the Army. I wasn't eligible. Mm-hmm. Even if I did get eligible, I knew I was going to get a medical discharge anyway, because
right.
I have autism, and probably the psych training, or I would have been flagged for something. So it just wouldn't have been a good fit.
So do you feel like those experiences, some of them clearly very negative, though, may have had a little bit of a positive lining to them? And the reason I'm asking is, it occurs to me, you must be an incredibly resilient person at this point in your life, someone who can come back from adversity. And you know, whatever it is, I can, you know, if you get in a minor wreck on the way home, I can bounce back from this, or whatever.
I've been in two wrecks.
Oh, okay. I just struck a chord.
but
some people, that would just, I mean, it would just crush them. Or something. But is that accurate then? You're resilient.
It has. When I haven't been resilient until, I haven't been really resilient until, I think it was before the first gala. I spoke about that.
The first gala for the Circle of Friends thing. And we're going to talk
about Circle of Friends in a little bit. But
the first gala was a turning point for you?
The gala wasn't just, I'll jump into this story.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, 2022
mm-hmm.
of last year. I have been, for a while now, I have been dealing with suicidal depression.
Okay.
And it's been because of me being picked on through elementary, middle, and high.
Yeah.
Until my senior year in high school. And then even after that, I've people have been picking on my autism. It's just like, you're different. You're this. You can't do this. It's like, well, actually I can. It mm-hmm. would take me some time. And just people weren't like that back then. They didn't really understand it. And so they shunned me. The whole community is shunned, kind of. It's just like, anyway. So yeah, for a while I've been dealing with suicidal depression, mm-hmm. to the point where I've attempted to kill myself like 3 times. I've trying to take my life. You can name it.
And do you feel like you're surely not the only person that had those feelings for this reason?
Yeah.
So that is then a challenge in the autistic community. Wow. I guess I did not realize that.
It is. And I personally want to shout out to, if you are ever going through something, don't ever be afraid to ask. I know people nowadays think like They want to be tough and, you know, not, speak out. But seriously, speak out. Like, there nowadays, there are people willing to help you. There's a hotline. There's a suicide hotline. Get that number.
So what was the catalyst for you? Because you mentioned the gala. Was it getting ready for the gala? Was it something that happened at the gala?
It was before the gala.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it was after it. Because before the gala, I was in Florida. I was in a whole nother state dealing with my mental depression, suicidal depression. I was in like the perfect place. I was in Delray Beach in Florida.
That sounds awful.
I know. but there they did what was called, they did an operation, or not an operation. They did a test theory that the FDA approved in Florida. Mm-hmm. It was called brain mapping.
Okay.
It was called brain mapping.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they hooked electrodes to my brain.
Right.
And I felt no shock. It wasn't like shock therapy. But it was just, you're just watching actual television, or they say like watch a Netflix show, and they, on the screen, it shows your brain being remapped. Like all the,
Based on the input of the show you're watching. Wow.
They remap your brain. And they said, I was down there for 3 months during doing this treatment. And
so in this mapping, and you may not know all this detail, but if you and I sat down and we both watched a Netflix that's in a genre we both like, right? And would our maps look similar, very different? They would certainly... They both respond to the stimuli, right?
Yeah, they respond to the stimuli.
Of course, I'm assuming I don't have autism. I don't know. We may find out that I do by the end of the show. Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, they did it. They showed me on this computer screen of my brain and how it was active. And they're like, you see this firing neuron right here? I'm like, yeah. They're like, that's your active stimuli. And while you're watching the TV, it's going crazy.
Huh.
And they're like, what do you have? I said, well, I have autism. And they saw one of them was a nurse, a medical professional,
mm-hmm.
or a CRN. And she's like, what's this like indentation in your brain right here?
Hmm.
They saw it on the screen. And I'm like, that's my autism. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I never knew. I'm like, physically, you would think that I don't have autism, but if you look at my brain, it's there.
Okay. So you got some education. You were informed. You had an experience with people that were trying to help you get a handle on things. So that was a part of this switch in mindset.
Yes.
And maybe it's not fair to represent it as a switch. It occurs to me.
It was a switch. You can say that. It was a switch in my brain, and it didn't really get affected until I was... I really didn't see the concept of it working until the day after the first gala we had.
Oh.
Because I was there physically.
Right.
But mentally, I was not there. Okay. Mentally, my mind was still in Florida during mm-hmm. this treatment. And so here comes this goes into the story. I'm sitting at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport,
mm-hmm.
waiting on my flight to go back to Florida
right.
to finish up my treatment because I wasn't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I still had 3 more months to go. It was a total of 6-month process. So as I'm sitting in that airport at my gate waiting to go back to Florida, it gets delayed. So I'm like, you know, nothing of it. Okay, 10-minute delay. Okay, another 10 minutes goes by. Gets delayed again. This happened a total of 7 times, Stone. 7. Like, people...
That would drive me nuts.
Oh, my God, yes.
I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky, resilient guy. Yeah, so did it set you on edge, or did you...
It did. It did set me on edge. I'm like, God, I call my mom, and I said... I'm on the phone with her, and I say, Mom, my flight has been delayed 7 times, and at this time, it's about 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
My flight was supposed to leave at 3. So yeah. I'm just like, there is no way I am staying at this airport overnight just to catch this flight.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, just wait one more. Just, you know, I'm working. I can't drive to the airport to come get you. You know, can you wait a little bit? And I said, sure, I guess. At this time, I'm already pissed. Like, I'm just, ugh.
Well, seven delays would equal seven bourbons for me, so they wouldn't have let me on the plane.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm at this seventh time. I said to her, I said, Mom, I think it's a sign from God saying that I'm not getting on this flight. And I said, and at that moment, I had I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if you're a Christian person. I don't know your religion, but anyway, whatever it is, I accept. But I'm just going to tell you what I experienced.
Yes.
I experienced the voice of God at that airport.
Wow.
And, or the voice of Jesus, actually. He came and spoke to me, and it all got quiet around me. I couldn't hear nothing. It was just like him and I having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, what you doing? I said, what do you mean I'm doing? What do you think I'm doing? I'm going to Florida to finish my treatment. He's like, you don't need it. I said, what? He's like, you don't need it. Granted to you, I got taken aback. And he's like, look, you don't need it, Hayden. You have a community around you. You went to a massive organization that your parents did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you didn't know the aspect of it. You didn't know the general girth of it. But I'm giving you, like, I'm giving you the gift of sight, and not through your eyes, but through my eyes. And I'm going to give you a gift. And I said, is it sight? Because I need it. And he's like, yes, but also it's going to be the gift of voice. I said, why? I can speak pretty fine. He's like, not through your eyes. I'm going to give you the voice to speak through mine. And then everything stopped. He left, or everything stopped. And he's like, now go home. I'm like, okay. So,
and so you call Mom, look, Mom, I've talked to Jesus and you need to knock off work early and come get me. Me and Jesus got this whole other plan.
Oh yeah.
But no, you've got point, you've got a new sense of purpose.
Yes.
Boy, what a powerful antidote.
And
purposes to a lot of these things we're talking about, right?
Yes. And he gave me the courage to speak out on this. He gave me the courage to, he gave me the love to have for people.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the love that I have for people. He gave me my mom and my dad, who I'm just overwhelmed, with joy with.
You're really trying to live into this, and you are trying to be more outspoken. You're trying to support other people with autism. You're talking more about it. You're not ducking it. You're not as much, woe is me, that guy's looking at me funny because I have autism. Less of that, right?
Because of that encounter, I have overcome my suicidal ideations. This day, I have had no thoughts of suicide, no thoughts of harming myself or others. And I am completely changed.
That is fantastic, man. What a testimony.
All because of their program, their brain mapping.
Right.
And it was sitting at that Atlanta airport, I had that realization to come on, be who I am today.
That's a great endorsement. We'll send them a bill.
Yeah.
All right, so let's dive
Florida,
into
Florida Recovery Group.
Florida Recovery Group.
Florida Recovery Group in Boca Raton, Florida, in Delray Beach, Florida.
Yeah, neat.
They've helped me out. I want to go back and seriously just thank them all for helping me.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk more about you touched on the gala. But let's talk a little bit about Circle of Friends. I know it's had a tremendous impact on your life.
Circle of Friends, man. Let's dive into that. Circle of Friends is an organization for young adults with intellectual disabilities. In layman's terms, intellectual disabilities are is basically young adults with special needs, mm-hmm. which is autism, cerebral palsy, nonverbal autism. I don't really know that technical term, but.
And these folks, in my experience, and help me through this, may or may not have a lower IQ than other segments of the population. In fact, they may have a standard or above IQ, but they may have other challenges in expressing their thoughts. Or is that accurate? Okay.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right. We're sourcing our
we're sourcing everything.
You have your personal Chat GPT over here.
Chat GPT.
That's fantastic. No, go on. Yes.
Okay. It's for kids with intellectual disabilities and development, such mm-hmm. as cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and all that. It's a place where they can be in the workforce,
mm-hmm.
Learn, the job,
right?
The classic 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are,
right?
And get paid actual money, like what your parents do all the time.
Right, right.
And it's a, you know, it's a coffee shop. We built a coffee shop. So you'll actually be in a business system. It's called Square. And mm-hmm. you will get a paycheck, like actual money. And right. you can actually put that in your bank account and save and be able to spend and do all that, all because of Circle of Friends.
And there again, one of the gifts, and there are many, I suspect, in becoming a part of that, is you're helping these folks gain that sense of purpose.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because, like I said, people with autism people with autism basically can do what you and I can.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just take them a little bit. Some people do it in threes. Like I'm not going to lie. I will be honest. I was talking to a friend on another app, earlier today about autism. And he's like, "Hey, I do things in threes." I said, "Well, that's cool because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like," and I'm like, "How do you know that you have autism?" He self-diagnosed himself.
Okay.
I'm just like, geez, mostly you have to have a doctor for that. But no, he did it himself. He researched what it was.
Like, right.
There's a list, an FDA approved list of what classifies as autism.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked it all up and he diagnosed himself. He's like, "Dude, I keep closing the door 3 times. I said, "Well, there you go. That's autism." And he's like, "How is that autism?" I'm like, mm-hmm. "Because you're doing it in the chronicle system of 3.
Right.
And then once you're done with 3, you can continue on with what you're doing."
Yeah.
And he's just like, "Wow, I never really thought of that." I'm like, "Yeah."
So when you're at Circle of Friends, you've mentioned a couple of times, and not that I would know, but I suspect that you're accurate. You've characterized yourself as high functioning.
Yes.
And that suggests to me that you're around folks that aren't as highly functioning. It sounds like you've taken on some responsibility for supporting them, celebrating them, helping them feel better about themselves, helping them. That's gotta feel good,
man. Oh my gosh. Now, before I was just like, okay, I'm around a bunch of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to meet them and talk with them and just be like, "You're freaking awesome."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have this great friend at the coffee shop. If you guys are in Woodstock, shout out to our coffee shop at the Circuit. Come in there Monday through Friday, 8 to 1.
At least a third of my coffee budget is dedicated to that. And they take the credit card. So actually, it's not coming out of my budget. It's Holly's credit card. And I'm very generous with that. You know, I'd like the two people behind me. I buy them a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm working, I'll just give you a free cup.
Hey,
sorry, Mom. I have the owner in here. We have the owner.
Right, right.
She's just like, "Oh my God, just shut up." It's funny.
All right, so let's talk a little. You've touched on your journey in general. What is a day in the life of Hayden like? Like, what are some activities in which you might engage in?
I'm a gamer. I like to play video games. I used to be really good at it until I've, you know, grew up and my body started saying, yeah, I have gamekeeper thumbs because of it. Well, technically it's because I didn't stop sucking my thumb until I was 18.
Now, was being a gamer, was that a challenge though? Or was that something that came easy?
Yes.
That too was a challenge.
Because
okay.
I have, not only do I have autism, I have ADHD. So ADHD is like giving somebody an energy drink. It's basically the classic cartoon character Speedy Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. He never just stops. He just constantly goes.
And some people with autism may display other characteristics, but they may not be ADHD, or they may be very withdrawn. Yes.
And yes. Not... Some.
Okay.
Yeah. Some with autism, they can be like, there's other aspects. Like I know a friend who's autistic, but he's very highly OCD. Like, you can give him a box of crayons and mix it all up, and he will put those crayons
He's not going to walk away from order. All right, so back to a day in the life of Hayden. What would you do on a typical Tuesday, Thursday, or whatever?
Tuesday, you would possibly find me sleeping.
Okay.
Because Tuesday,
sleeping
I work.
In. You don't have to be at the coffee shop.
No, I have to be at the coffee shop.
I
get it at 7:45 and open it.
Right.
And you morning people. Like.
Well, Thursday morning, I know, you know, that's
Thursday early. Morning is like 10 a.m. Like, sun's shining and birds are chirping.
Right. You make Kyle run the register on Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's always early on Thursday
morning.
I'm after
Kyle.
You're after Kyle.
I'm after Kyle and Steven.
Okay.
Kyle and Steven are two employees at our coffee shop. Just fun people to be around. You got to go see them. They're at Thursday from, I don't know their schedule, but Thursday mornings.
Yeah, come to Young Professionals of Woodstock.
Yes,
hang out with
Wife
us
House,
and order some coffee. All right, so you might go to Circle of Friends. What are some other things that you do? And I guess I'm also looking for a little insight on how your day may go differently than mine. I'm kind of semi-retired, and I do a lot of what I want to do, but...
I'm active. I try to be very active in the community.
Okay.
Circle of Friends, we have a social group.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the first Thursday of every Thursday, or the first Thursday of every month. Mm-hmm. We do a big social event.
Oh, wow.
Whether it's playing board games or playing cornhole. We have a cooking class for bowling.
Have you recently been to a cooking class?
I have. I've been to two of them, actually. We're on our third season this year. Season 3 of Young Adult Cooking Class.
What'd you cook?
We've cooked meatloaf.
Yeah?
I made meatloaf for the first time. We did pinwheels. We've done desserts. We've done parfaits. We've done pizza. We did.
Right.
We just finished, actually, last Thursday. We just had an Italian chef come.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Come, and we made personal pan pizzas. And, oh my gosh, Stone, you should have been there. They were so, so good.
Well, I would like very much to be there, but you know where this is heading. I'm glad you've had a positive experience with that. But mom's going to say, look, you know how to cook.
Yeah.
And you don't need me.
Of course.
You make dinner tonight.
Yeah. I do. I make dinner for myself.
Okay.
I live by myself. Unfortunately, I don't live with my parents anymore. I moved
out. I did not realize that, but there's another set of challenges and opportunities for people depending on where they are on the spectrum. Is that the right?
On the spectrum.
So, yeah, that too. That's a whole other set of things to be thinking about and trying to aspire toward, if it's practical.
Yep.
To be able to live
and
on your own.
That's one of our strands, honestly, is to do is to have community development for people like you, for people like me, mm-hmm. for people like my mom or whoever. It's, we want to be an intergenerational community. Okay. That way, and it doesn't have to be people with autism or special needs. It could just be regular human beings. That's basically what we are. We're not different people.
Right.
Because I'm going to get historic on you. Because in the Constitution of, honestly, in the Declaration of Independence, it says we the people, not, you know.
We the non-alienated.
Yeah, we the non-alienated people. No, it says we the people, including people with special needs and including with people with disabilities.
Right.
They classify as people too.
Mm-hmm.
And so amen. We have that aspect. It's like people with disabilities or people with autism are people too. So why not put them, or not really put them, why not integrate them into communities where there are people who don't have disabilities? And
see, I think that's a fascinating idea, because as I'm not quite there yet, maybe, but my folks are getting closer and closer. As people age, their world gets a lot smaller.
Right.
Like, how great would it be if my mom and dad were living in proximity to a group of people that had some,
exactly,
some of these special needs? Because they, believe me, they have special needs, and I'm sure I have special needs. But
you probably do.
You know what? The more we're talking about this, we probably all have special needs.
Oh, yeah.
Just maybe some of yours are more visible in the traditional society. But this, but isn't that, that is part of the...
People who load dishwashers, I swear to God, have OCD issues. Yeah. Dishwasher people, I don't know how you guys properly load a dishwasher. I just throw my dishes in there.
All right, well, we kind of brushed over it, and you mentioned it as a strand, but isn't this part of the grand plan?
Is to
create a community like you're describing?
We have three strands, actually. We have one that is encouragement. We have social opportunities, which is our big events.
Right, right.
Our gala is more... The gala is more of our big fundraiser.
Right.
But we have every Friday, we have what's called Cards with Friends.
Okay, I stumbled onto this. I had a meeting with one of our Main Street Warriors. You know, you heard me talk about our community partner program at the circuit. And a lot of the people I recognized, some of them I didn't, because mm-hmm. they may not actually work in the coffee shop. Where there was some playing Uno, there was some, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That was on a Friday, yeah.
It's our game day.
Sweet.
And Stone's not lying. We have three giant white tables filled with young adults with disabilities playing a simple game of Uno.
Uh-huh.
And it's awesome. It is literally awesome to see. And that's why, I mean, I participate sometimes, but most of the time I'm just like, talking to the people around me, like, yeah, this is what we do every Friday. So if you
want, that's where you pulled me aside. Said, yeah. Hey, we ought to do an episode.
Yeah. We got to do an episode. Well,
just, I'll let the cat out of the bag to me and Hayden. We got some designs on a separate show that may involve some more consistent programming around this and related topics.
Yeah. So if you guys want to hear it, let Stone know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. But we have social opportunities like we call it Cards with Friends on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But I might actually change that to being like Uno Madness or something, because yeah. It's crazy.
Or Hayden Wins.
No, I don't play. That's why I don't play, because I win. But we also have Supportive Employment, which is the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
We're building another one in Hickory Flat.
I cannot wait. I know you guys have been working on this. How far out are we, you think?
We are end of May, but if you want like numbers, mm-hmm. like percentages, we're about maybe 75% of the
Sweet.
Way done.
Sweet.
And we're having a big work day on the 25th of April. So if you guys are listening and you guys are sitting at home thinking of what to do.
Well, you said work, so I'm busy that day.
Yeah, work. But for those of you who
I'll
don't,
I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, there we go. we'll bring you, and we'll probably do a radio session.
Yeah,
At the location.
You know what? That actually is a great idea. We should do radio day at one or both locations. That would be fun.
That would be cool.
All right, put that in the all hopper. Right. We're gonna do that. All right, so you've got all these social opportunities.
We have
supportive employment.
Social opportunities, tons, supportive employment. And then we also have, we're trying to develop a community. We're trying to find land, whether in Hickory Flat. We kind of want Hickory Flat because that's really where it blossomed. That's really where it started.
Right.
That's kind of like our ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're looking in Woodstock where the circuit is. You know, the new development around in downtown Woodstock, it's getting crazy.
And in this development, would it kind of look and feel like we were talking about? Yes, there may be some autistic people with intellectual.
Yes, but it won't be.
Exclusively.
It won't be exclusive. There is a community in Roswell.
Right. We're going to do what they do, but better. Yeah, there you go.
We are.
Got it.
It's not going to be apartment kind of outlook. It's going to be more individual community housing.
Right.
The community will be open to the public.
What a neat idea.
Yeah. It's going to be inclusive, intergenerational for all you big term people out there.
My mom
is over here in the studio. She's just texting me over her phone of the notes right now. It's pretty comical. I wish you could see this. It's pretty funny. But yeah, it's intergenerational. So that means people like you or me or my mom, whoever, can be in that organization with us.
I love it.
And the thing, the very funny thing about people with autism is some are very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And some are very open. They just want a friend.
Well, I'm glad you're going there because what I'd like to do, you know, this is my show. Let's talk about me for a minute.
Yeah, let's go.
No, as a lay person with some appreciation for and some genuine desire to serve this constituency, this group of people, I have questions, right? Like, okay, somehow, some way, I know the guy over there or the lady over here is autistic. What would you want me to know in general about autism or autistic people? And are there any like solid pro tips, like do this, don't do that, or
patience?
Just
okay. Patience. Patience is key.
All right.
You have people who stutter and who get very excited very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, my piece of advice for people who want to know how to deal with somebody with autism is patience. Just give it time. Like everyone's so like rush, like on the go.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Like I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but just patience. When you're trying to talk to somebody who has autism, tell them it's okay. You're in a safe space because here at the studio, I mean, I know now I'm in a safe pace, but before I was very nervous. Like I came on the show, I said, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm like Tom Cruise first in that F-14 Tomcat, you know, in Top Gun, like that thing can book. But now I'm just relaxed. I'm calm. I'm chilled because I know I'm in a safe space. And all it was because of patience. You know, we could have had this done in like 20 minutes, but no. We're just sitting here relaxing, chilling, talking. That's all. That's basically what autism is all about. Just sit down, have a conversation with somebody, and open your mind. Really, don't be like all questiony. Just let it flow. Like they'll talk to you. They want to talk to you. We want to talk to you. We want to be informed. So patience, that's one thing. And then let them know that they're safe to be around you.
Back to earlier parts of the conversation, some of these folks have lived through some external pressures like you talked about. Maybe they've been bullied. Maybe they've felt bad about themselves. Yes. Maybe they've been in states of depression and recognize there's a story behind all these people that goes perhaps what maybe adjacent to, but well beyond just the fact that they have this
right
challenge. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. You spoke about trauma. I have, you know, I suffered with suicidal depression. There are people who go through PTSD, childhood trauma. And, you know, just even talking to somebody who's been, say, like, abused since they were a child. I'm going to go down this route. They want someone who is very kind, very loving, and very understanding. And they want them to know that you need to tell them that, like, if you want to talk to them, be like, hey, you're in a safe place. It's okay. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to discriminate you. I'm going to hear and I'm going to listen. And so tell me your story. And that's what brought me here today. Honestly, I, me being the social butterfly I am, my mom can tell me, it's like, he didn't talk. He didn't used to talk until he was like 10. Now he just doesn't shut up. Five. Yeah, it's like he didn't used to talk until he was five. Now he never shuts up. Like, that's true. I don't know when to start talking. But because of that, I use it to my advantage. I'm be like, you know, I've always had no problem talking to people. I could go up to a random stranger and have a 10-minute conversation with them.
Well, you have started to use it to your advantage, but you also have some real designs on using it to other people's advantage. You've shared with me, and if it's okay with you, I'll share with our listening audience. You have some real desire to continue to give this group of people a voice.
Yes.
And to comfort them and give them a safe space to share their stories. So we've already mentioned we're talking about possibly a radio show concept really dedicated to this set of topics. But you also mentioned maybe wanting to be on the speaking circuit. You would like to go out to groups and speak.
I want to go out. Yeah. I will be honest with you, Stone. I've been trying to honestly get what's called a TED talk.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Now a TEDx, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause every time I see it, it's like TEDx. And
yeah, they stole that from us. Business Radio X.
Yeah, TEDx. Business Radio X with the big giant X. But yeah, I've been wanting to do TED talks.
Okay, so it's an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think you're up for it. If you had to do a TEDx talk tomorrow, that's not how the process works. I'm a little bit familiar with it. But if you had to do a TEDx talk tomorrow, I believe. what are a couple of topics that you might want to make sure you cover in that talk tomorrow morning?
I definitely want to cover autism and just be like, look, guys, you're not alone. Like, I have autism and I'm 31 years old. You know, my life. I was born in a country called Romania, in Bucharest, Romania.
I did not realize that.
I am adopted. I came over here on, not by boat, by most people. I came here by plane. I was 2 years old when I got adopted here. Didn't know anything, not even a lick of English. And now look at me. Now I'm just talking on the radio. I didn't know who my parents were. My adopted parents. My mom is sitting with me in the studio right now. I didn't know her, so I bit her. You know, I'm going to be plain honest with
you. We got off on the wrong foot there, buddy.
Yeah. and then for all of that, like, just, you know, all of that. I mean, I was just a nightmare to take around. My mom can basically classify it as I was the Tasmanian devil. Like, I was nice, but, you know, I was just havoc everywhere I go. I started
beating. So you would tell this group about that. You'd give them your backstory all the way back to day one, Romania, as much as you can recreate for them. And you would share that with them. But why? Why? What is it you're wanting them to walk away from that?
To know that even if you have autism and even if you have a disability, no matter what it is, you can overcome it. Or if not overcome it, you can learn to live with it. And that's what I think a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
Is living with your disability. Most people are discriminated because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But look at people in history. Look at Albert Einstein. He had autism.
Did he really?
He did. And he created one of the most deadliest weapons of all, the atom bomb.
Okay. He wasn't great with the hair.
He wasn't great with the hair.
Right.
No, well, I think he stuck a little too many forks in the electricity outlets.
I did not realize
when he was
that.
A child. But yeah, look at who else?
But, you know, 50 years from now, somebody's going to be on a holographic version of this show and they're going to say, Hayden Keene was autistic. You'd never know it, but that guy that did all those TED Talks, Hayden Keene was autistic. Right? They're going to say the same thing.
Yeah. and then you look at even Hollywood stars who have disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You look at who's a good example? Adam Sandler. He has bipolar and he's the funniest guy you will ever see.
No, he's built a tremendous career. The talk you just described, and particularly if you could figure out how it begins and lands on that thought of living with it, and maybe even more than living with it, leveraging it to serve other people.
Understanding it to.
Okay.
For me, it's been a really hard, And just embracing it, really. Mm-hmm. Just be like, okay, not giving it a blow off the shoulder. It's a burden to live with autism. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm not saying people with autism, this, that, left, right, and center. No. Learn to live with your autism or learn to live with your disability. I have tons of people. There's a girl named Zoe. She's bound to a wheelchair. But you look at her, she is the brightest, uppest thing. We had a basketball event. You know, some people can't play basketball. Okay. Zoe is, I think 100% disabled.
Mm-hmm.
She can't speak. I don't know about eating, but she can't speak. She is completely bound to a wheelchair. She has 100% cerebral palsy. But when you see her, she has the brightest smile, mm-hmm. and she loves it. Why? Because she's in a safe community, like Circle of Friends. And we don't discriminate. We don't be like, oh, no, you have this. No, you have this. No.
Or you don't have enough of this.
Or you don't have enough of this. You can't shoot a basketball, really? No. We accommodate for you. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't do, is they don't accommodate to people with different.
Well, I'm excited for your future, man. I see you speaking. I see you writing. I see you using all kinds of platforms to help people.
Yeah. Just honestly, it's the little things that are it's the little drops in the ocean that start the wave. It's not you. It's just, well, it is you. But I think if people really tone in on their aspects and enjoy what pretty much God gave them,
mm-hmm.
you're going to live a better life. And I want to jump on this too. Like the classic 9-to-5, you know? Everybody wants that 9-to-5 job. Everybody wants that job.
Well, not everybody.
Well, not everybody. But there are some people who are not happy, who are not satisfied with what they have. They want more.
Yep. Yep.
They think, oh, I'm not, you know, I have, you know, a car from like 2004. It still takes me to A and B, but I want that Lamborghini.
Right.
It's like, yeah, we all want that Lamborghini. We all want to be that person. But learn to be humble with what you have, with what you have in your life so far. Most people want bigger houses. Most people want, if you guys discriminate me, okay. Most people say they want a better wife. They want a better life. Why not just be humble with what you got? You have a house. You have a job. You're providing, whether it's for you, your partner, or your family. Why do you want more?
I think you're going to be a marvelous speaker, and I think you're going to reach not only people that are experiencing the challenges that you're directly relating to them, but I think people who are, don't have those challenges are going to be more appreciative of what they do have and more inspired to work through whatever their bag of hammers is. I think it was Michael J. Fox that said everybody's got their own bag of hammers.
Yep.
That they're toting around.
A good example is I live on my own. I don't live with my parents no more.
How clean is the place, Hayden?
It actually is pretty clean.
Is it? All right.
Yes.
Again, one of your OCD friends over there.
Yeah, no. So it was just me.
There are advantages in knowing people in the community, right?
Yes, yes. And knowing this community, you could be like, hey, can you clean my house? I'll pay you. I don't want to clean it.
But no, you live on your own?
I live on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Holly Springs. I have a facilitator. I have a support person.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes every Wednesday and takes me out in the community.
Right.
I'm going to tell everybody I'm about to go bowling today. Like,
sweet.
I was I had a basketball injury. I tore a muscle in my leg, so I couldn't, you know, bowl.
Right.
That's great.
You got past that? Just like you got past everything else?
My first time bowling in a long time, I bowled a 140. That, in the bowling world, that's pretty good. It's not a 200 or a 300, but it's pretty good. For a kid with autism at 31, bowling 140, let's go. And that gives me the drive. That gives me the power to do better. It's like, okay, I bowl a 140. How about I bowl a 145? You know, let's try to bowl a 145.
Right, right.
And that's...
Well, you touched on this a minute ago. It's I think sometimes we hear conversations like this, and if it, anything from wanting to do something for me personally to better my own situation or to try to help this group of people that we're learning about, I think sometimes the initial reaction is I've got to make this big grand gesture, but you really don't.
You really don't.
You could
like people like nowadays. I think now there's more of a movement now, I think, because of, you know, I mean, because of COVID now, everybody is just trying to get, like, I'm going to be honest with you, Stone. People are trying to get money, like, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the government did the stimulus checks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, I personally believe... I'm on the fence with those, honestly. I mean, yes, they were a good idea sending it out to people who really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was a bad thing because you sent it out to everyone, and which was a good thing. You know, people used it wisely. And then there are people out there who used it not wisely. Like, you know, you get $1,400 to help with bills, rent, groceries. And then there were people, it was just.
Are you suggesting some people didn't spend that on groceries?
Yes, I'm suggesting. Because there have.
But yeah, where I was headed with that comment is that you really don't have to make this grand gesture in your own life. You know, just change up one little habit. You know, one little thing. Or if you're trying to serve somebody, you don't need to write them this great big check.
No, we don't.
Slide by and have a conversation with someone.
Exactly.
You know, buy a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a friend. He is my best friend. And he told me one day, he said, Hayden, you want to know what the problem is with this world? I said, oh my God.
You said, no, I really don't.
No, I really don't. But he's like, no. Listen. Understand me. I'm like, okay. So I took a deep breath and I listened to him. He said, Hayden, the biggest problem with this world is that nobody is willing to sit down and talk.
Mm.
They always want to get the next big thing. They always want to get the next big jump or everything.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something to think about there.
Look at your friends. I guarantee you, my mom's tapping me here. Right. She's like, talk about your girlfriend. I'm like, I will. I'll get there. But the biggest thing is look at your friends list. Look on Facebook. I guarantee you nowadays people have 1,000 or 3.5K followers Facebook.
Right.
Do you really know all of them?
Do you really know
all of your friends?
Nope.
I don't.
Yeah,
I think I have like 135 on my Facebook. And the reason why I'm not into the thousands or into the Ks is because I don't want to. I have my
In real life,
I wish I had more friends. I do. But I'm happy. I'm humble. If I get friends, cool.
All right.
If I don't, then okay.
Before we wrap, let's talk about one last friend, because I think Mom wanted you to mention.
Oh, yeah. My girlfriend. Speaking of friends, I have a girlfriend.
Yeah?
Her name is Lily.
Okay.
She is the most wonderful thing I have ever met in my life.
Oh, shout out to Lily.
Yeah. Hi, honey. She came to me when I was in my darkest, and I said, look, I am not what you want right now. I am broken. I'm hurt. I've been through in relationships where people have taken advantage of me. Mostly it's been money, or when I do have the money and I do want to spend my time with you, it's either I've been stood up on dates and all that.
You had the presence of mind to tell her, look,
yeah, I had the presence. Yeah, I said, look, this is not the right time for me. I don't want a girlfriend. She's like, I don't want to be your girlfriend. I want you to be my boyfriend. And I said, well, first of all, I'm not even boyfriend material. I haven't even got my shit together. I'm still living with my mom. And she's like, that's okay. I want you for you. I don't want you for what you can become. And I said, can I think about it? She's like, yeah, you can think about it. So I thought real hard for 3 days if I wanted to be in this relationship with her. And the thing that made me jump to her like within the snap of a finger is because when I said, can I have 3 days to think about it? During those 3 days, Stone, she texted me. She's like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? She knew that I was going through stuff.
Right,
she put it upon herself to say, hey, are you okay? I am with you through this step, through this journey you are going through. I am here.
That is fantastic. Well, hey, listen, we're going to continue this conversation.
Oh, we totally are.
Maybe on the Hayden Keene show or whatever you decide to call it. But for right now, let's leave our listeners with a way to get in touch with you or to learn more about Circle of Friends, whatever you think is appropriate, a website or whatever.
If you're one of those people if you're a website person, I don't have a website up for me, at least, but I do have a Facebook. It's a... Hayden, that's H-A-D-E-N, Keen, K-E-E-N, like the shoe brand Keen. I think those are Keens with the S, but no, it is Keen, K-E-E-N. Yeah, or circleoffriendsinc.org.
Fantastic.
Or you can go onto Google and type in Circle of Friends. Cherokee County, we're there. Or if you want to get me directly and what? Okay, maybe not. They're all saying no in the booth. Whatever. If you want to find me on Facebook at Hayden Keene. I have what's my profile picture?
Oh, you're going to be so easy to find now. You're a rock star. You've been on the Business Radio X Network, man.
I know.
All I got to do is Google you.
It's me in a Kennesaw sweatshirt. My cover picture is me and my girlfriend on the cover photo as soon as you pop it up. I hope to hear from you again.
Well, I got to tell you, man, it's been a real pleasure having you in the studio today. We are going to continue the conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your insight, your perspective. This has been great fun, man.
It all started with you. You were the one who said yes.
My pleasure.
But thank you. I want to, from me personally, thank you, Stone, for doing everything that you've done for Circle of Friends. Like, you hosted our cornhole tournament. Like, from me, I want to say thank you for hosting it, because people probably would never have heard of us if you didn't talk about us on your radio station.
Well, you are welcome, sir. I've enjoyed every minute of it. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, Hayden Keene.
Bye.
And everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you again on Cherokee Business Radio.